I kind of did something different. I always say that because I always end up doing something different. That's silly. But I'm doing something a little different today. I actually kind of put two things together, and then I decided which one am I going to use, and I just decided both. So this is the double blessing, I guess. But in the days upcoming, when we were building up to doing a week of prayer, talking about breakthrough in two different areas. One was just for a move of God, and the other one was for a financial breakthrough. And I just thought, I don't think I did a good enough job talking about breakthrough. So I want to talk to you a little bit about breakthrough. And if that's all we get done, then I'm a happy man, because I'll preach what I got on the next pages next week. But at the same time, I'm going to talk about principled prayer too. And so, Lord, we just open ourselves to you. Thank you for being here with us today. And we ask for you to clear our thinking about what it means to partner with the Lord of breakthrough. You put that in your hands today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is 2 Samuel chapter 5, and it's kind of the lead-up passage to Micah chapter 2. So those are the two things we'll be looking at immediately. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning verse 17. The Lord, the master of breakthrough. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. When David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. That's a good thing. It's like a cave, a fortress type of thing. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" You just need to know this. David is probably the picture of the warrior king that you find in the Bible, but he didn't go around looking to take up people's fights. Here are the Philistines. They're wanting him. They're wanting to oppose him. And he said, "Are you in this? Do you want me to go into this battle? Because if not, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. And not every battle is yours to fight. So you dare not duck the ones you're supposed to be engaged in, and you shouldn't enter into the ones that you haven't been invited to," if I can say it that way. I think David had a pretty good pick on this. So he inquires of the Lord. I'm sure he talked to his fellow soldiers and his captains and his leaders and all that kind of thing. But what he did first and foremost was to say, "Lord, do you want me to do this? I'm the king, I'm the bad guy, I'm the strongest guy, I'm the anointed one." He was all those things. But did that mean he was supposed to take up the sword? So he says, "Do you want me to go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" In other words, if you're not going out there to help me win, I'm not going. And the Lord said to David, "Go up, I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters." So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means Lord of breakthrough, master of breakthrough. They abandoned their idols there, that is the Philistines. And so he and his men carried those away. And so later they burned them all up because they weren't obviously really gods, because they were idols. But he says, "The Lord broke through for me," kind of like a gusher, kind of like the dam breaking, boom, and things got out of the way. What was in the way? The Philistine army, and they got wiped out, taken away, just like a flood would come and everything out of the way. Now, sometimes you get to see the eagles. Other times, they're there, but you don't get to see them. Depends on what you need. But here, I want you to see, it wasn't David, and it wasn't the Israeli army that broke through. It was the Lord that broke through. He said so. Whatever that bulldozer is called, that's the Lord. Kaboom! And he knocked him out of the way, which means then the army had, "We just followed the wind, man. We just followed the flow." And when you pray sometimes, and the enemy will help you with this, he'll try to get you to feel very much alone when you're praying. I alone am left. I'm here, I'm praying, I'm fasting, and man, everybody needs to be doing this, and I wish everybody was doing this, and enemy's trying to clobber me, and not all of which can be true. But you have to understand, breakthrough is something you get to experience the Lord doing, not something you do and then hand it to Him. I don't think I got to emphasize that as much last week as I wanted to. I never got to this, so I know I didn't. Just think about that for a minute. Here's David, and he is the baddest guy on the block. He's God's king, God's anointed one. But he says, I showed up because I asked, Lord, are you inviting me into this battle? He said, oh yeah, and you're going to win. I will take care of them. He goes as a partner with the Lord, knowing the Lord's going to come and bulldoze the Philistine army. And he does. But then he says so. He doesn't say, well, man, we kicked them out. We rolled over those guys. He says, no, the Lord did this. So he names the place Lord of Breakthrough. That's not what it was named before. It says that he came there. Well, that's because he named it that. But the Lord hadn't shown himself as the Lord of Breakthrough till that moment. It was an experiential reality to David to be able to say, you're the Lord. And you're the Lord that watches over me and flies over me like the eagle. Because there was an experiential reality. And that's what I love about the reality of this. Even though it was a physical fight, it was a spiritual war. Right? This is the purpose and people of God against the people who have signed up against the purpose and the people of God. But he says, the Lord has broken through my enemies. So it's the Lord breaking through his enemies, which happened also to be God's enemies. And he defeated them there. So he names there Lord of Breakthrough. I think that's pretty cool. The Amplified Version says it this way in verse 20. David came to Baal Perazim and smote them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the bursting out of great waters. So he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, Lord of Breaking Through. I kind of like that because it's more like a verb, you know, something that he's doing, not just someone he is. It's both. The Moffat says it this way. He's the Lord of bursts. I kind of like that. And Knox says he's the master of the breach. So he's the Lord, he's the master, he's God, he's the king. But it's of something he did involving the army of God. Now, you have to understand, the Philistines were coming after him. They were looking for a war. But David wasn't going to get in one that the Lord wasn't engaged in. Because he was granting the Lord, if you will, an opportunity to prove his lordship over those who were against him. But I like that. Lord of the bursts. So, what do you want? Sometimes you just want a burst. You know, get the cork out of the bottle. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. Why? Because there's power in this thing. We get the cork out of it. Look, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows which direction it's going to go? Who just knows something's going to happen? And sometimes it's, be still and know that the Lord is God. And he functions like that sometimes. Other times it's the burst. Wow. And what's he doing? Way beyond what you could ask or think. And so we need to find out. This is what David did. He says, Lord, are you active in this? Is this something? Is this on your front burner? Is this something you want to do? Is this something you want me to do? We've had wars before. They haven't all turned out perfect. But are you engaging me to engage in this? And if you are, tremendous. Empower me to go do it. And if you aren't, protect me from my opinions so I don't go get us in trouble. And every father, husband, employer knows exactly what I mean when I said that. Because sometimes, there was that one time we weren't right. You remember that? 1968, whatever it was. And you made a mistake because you didn't do that and involve. Israel did that too. They had troubles. So what I what I'm trying to say is, when we're praying, especially if we're energized and we're excited and we're going for it, pressing in, leaning in doesn't always mean bursting. But when it does, man, you want to be around for the enjoyment. You want to be around to collect the spoils, so to speak. So David's posture, if I can say this, is, are you giving this to me today? The two wonderful verses in the New Testament, he says, little children, don't worry. God freely gives you the kingdom. And then he says, and violent men, take it by force. Which is it? Yep. So which is he doing? Is he blessing you by graciously providing you kingdom-esque things? Or is he saying, here's the power, use it and take it by force? And we have to know what he's doing, right? So to me, you're making a lot out of this. I think there's a lot to this. We want to be in the place of David, the man after God's own heart, that recognizes he's the best warrior, recognizes he's the God-appointed king, and recognizes that he serves the King of Kings, not just things serve him. Micah chapter 2, verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob, and that's speaking to Israel. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I'll put them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock, in the midst of its pasture, and they'll be noisy with men. In other words, it's going to be a lot of people. The breaker goes up before them. They break out. They pass through the gate and go out by it. So their king goes on before them and the Lord at their head. Amplified says it this way, the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through and pass through the gate and go through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. So it's here, Jesus is called the breaker. Now he's the Lord of breakthrough in 2 Samuel, but here he's just called the breaker, because there wasn't any question about who it was. And there wasn't any question. If there was no breaker, there wasn't any breakthrough. Well, why would he not show up? I just work here. I don't know. But the thing is, the recognition was the breaker is at our head. He's gathering people. He's forming. He's made a family. He's forming an army out of the family. We're going to go do this. Breaker's going to go first and kick in the gates, and then those who've been gathered are going to follow him as their head. See, the idea of breakthrough means we get to progress in the kingdom. We get to make up the ground that maybe we lost before, or gain ground that he's now presenting to us that the enemy had kept us from being able to lay hold of. And so, but it's not like, okay, thanks for being here, Lord, we'll go take care of it. No, he kicks in the gates.
That's right.
And then he says, and then opens the door. He's active in this so that what we do we get to be led by the Lord. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of breakthrough. The breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through. They will pass through the gate and go through it. The New American Bible, which is different than the NASB, says this, with a leader to break the path, they shall burst open the gates and go through. How did they do it? Because the breaker, the leader, was there to create the way. Way maker. That's why I said, Josh, can we sing that way maker song today? Because I know I'm going to get to this. And the idea is, what is the waymaker for? To provide a way. Right? And but not like a million ways, but the one he's wanting you to travel. And sometimes they are the result of victory in prayer, which I think is what this pictures. So with a leader to break the path, They'll burst open the gates and go through. The Bible in basic English says, the opener of the way, the breach. He's the opener. He opens doors nobody can open. He closes doors nobody can close. He's the opener. And when it's open, it's not so hard to go through. He opens the breach. He who opens the breach will go before them, and they will break through. And then that's the Revised Standard Version. It says, and then the king will pass before them. So he breaks in. He goes through. They get to follow him through. It's just not to break in and say, well, we got in. No, it's to take over. It's to defeat what's been sent against the people of God. Straighten that out. Straighten that out. It's almost like the Lord could be saying to David, because you, David, prayed to me about these Philistines, here's what I'm going to do. I'm kicking in the gates, I'm opening the door, and you're going to be able to pass through. You're going to gain entry and get done what needs to be done. You're going to squash what needs to be squashed, and you're going to take what needs to be taken. Wow. Isn't that good? Oh. So when things don't seem to be working, and when things, I guess I can say this, I have the mic, I can say whatever I want, but there are times when in vision, in what I can see and hear and operate in my five senses, there are times when it appears that what you're praying about has not yet yielded to prayer. Not where I can see it happen. It may have already happened in the heavenlies. Hasn't happened yet. Have you ever had that, something that you're still praying about because you haven't seen it happen yet? That might be a time to say, Lord, I need the breaker to show up. I need the breaker to whatever is keeping this from happening. My goodness, it's been this long, it's been this hard, it's been this, you know, whatever. Would you show me? Would you come and kick open the door? I promise I'll follow you. I'll do what you tell me to do. And if you're showing me that that's not something I'm supposed to advance on at this point, if you make that clear to me, I won't make the mistake of trying to follow a way that hasn't been made for me yet. But I don't know, since the Bible calls him the Lord of Breakthrough and the Breaker, I don't think it's wrong to pray for the Breaker. I don't know if you've ever done that before. We've asked for breakthrough. I'm not saying we haven't. Trust me. I'll just say what I was going to say. If you've ever been broke, you've asked for the breaker. That was pretty good. I'm sorry you missed it. But the idea here is, Lord, it's not yielding. Things aren't happening. Here's the promise. You gave us a promise. You gave us something that's in your word that we're supposed to stand on, that's foundational, that's truth, that's strong. But it's not causing the result, the effect that the scriptures say it's supposed to. If it's on our end, show us, we'll change it. But if we just need to employ you as the breaker. So I wanted to get to this because here we've been talking about having breakthrough. I don't think it's wrong to say, Lord, would you come and be as the breaker? You, the breaker, the Messiah, you, the Lord, you, the King, would you come and whatever you did for David to kick out the Philistines, whatever you were wanting us to see here in Micah chapter 2 about you being the one that goes ahead of us and we can be led by you because you're leading us through. We were talking about this the other day and I said, you know, I was meeting with a guy. I said, this hasn't changed. It hasn't changed any. He says, what hasn't changed? And I said, this leadership thing. He goes, oh, don't start that with me. Yeah, trust me. And I said, no, it's still true. The number one thing is still the number one thing, and people don't talk about it. And he said, what? I said, if you're going to lead, the first thing you have to have is the capacity to be led. He just looked at me and said, that's right, isn't it? And I said, I think so. Because being the leader means a lot of the times you're making the decisions and you're, you know, man, first thing you got to do is say, this is above my pay grade. I mean, you know, now, that doesn't mean you cower and all that kind of stuff, but you have to know you're being led. How else would you have confidence and courage to lead? And this is a thing where, okay, here's David. He was everybody's leader, the whole country, and all the ones that they'd conquered. But he still goes, Lord, do you want me to do this? I'm checking in for work this morning here. So what do you have for me today? What's on my plate? Before I punch my card, what do you want me to do? That's a really significant thing. And in prayer, especially when we are proclaiming and declaring and standing, holding ground, it's difficult sometimes to say, I'm doing this on purpose. I don't know how this happened, but I ripped a little cutter on my finger, and I'm just bloody all over my hands. It's really weird. So my inside pockets are getting red because I'm doing, I don't know how that happened, but it did. But I don't know what you would call this, because I'm not a dreamer very much. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have young grandkids anymore, so I don't keep Band-Aids in my bag. Used to. Thanks, man. But I had what I would call a voluntary vision. Voluntary in the sense I was awake. I think I was awake. And I was, this just sounds weird. So you're saying that this is the Word of God? No, I'm saying this is something I saw. And it meant the Word of God to me, but it's not the Bible. So but it's the Word of the Lord. Matthew 4:4, you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. I think that's what this is. Okay? So I was kind of like back like this, but I was watching. And I was at a round table, like the Knights of the Round Table. And whoever was the guy with the sword called me up, and I knelt before whatever it was. And I could hear and feel the sword going shoo, shoo, past my ears. And it rested on my head. And it was the Lord, as far as I understood. And he said, I'm so stupid. He said, you must remember. You must always yield to the sword before you wield the sword. I said, okay. I mean, I just go, oh, wow. Because I was being knighted. And then he led me to a steed and gave me a sword and put me on, and then it was over. But I've never forgotten that if you have to have, David just did this. Lord, I got the army assembled here. They're coming after us. So we either got to flee or fight. Do you want me to be engaged? Do you want me to fight this fight? And he said, yes. Even though he was already there, ready for war. But he yielded. Got to yield before you wield. That's for somebody. And so what I want to say is, the yieldedness of the heart is what puts power in the wielding of the sword, and the sword is the word, right? I mean, so I just said, okay, and I've learned a lot of lessons out of that one. That was a long time, let's put it that way. That was a long time ago. But I'll never forget it. It's like branding iron on my brain. This was one of those occasions where I don't have to ask some questions because he's already answered them. You know what I mean? I want to read you another verse. Wow. I don't know if you're listening slow or I'm talking slow. Isaiah 52:12. You who carry the vessels of the Lord. He's talking about getting out of Babylon now. And he says, you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives. Because when they left Egypt, they got out of there. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Now that's a pretty encompassing statement, because he's going to go before you because you're being led. He's kicking out the gates. He's opening up the doors. He's taking probability from probability to reality. You're going. You're doing this thing. But at this point, he says, you know, camels didn't have rearview mirrors. I don't know if they were on camels, but that sounded good to say. So, but he said, I got you from here. Don't worry. I'll be your rear guard. I will take care of you from this end. You pay attention to what I'm doing and go here. What's that telling you? You know what they were doing? Leaving Babylon. They're walking away from the sinful things that they did that got them caught and taken away into captivity in the first place. They were no longer being governed by or ruled by what they did or did not do in the past. Now they were doing only what he was leading them to do in the now. That's what Mike said. Your past is beautifully ensconced in the past. And his presence is a whole lot stronger than your stinking past or mine. So he's saying, get out of here, but you don't have to do this. This isn't Egypt. This isn't Pharaoh. I'm setting you free now. You don't have to worry about it. You're not, no Red Sea. We're going to take you home. We're going to take you back to Zion. We're going to take you back to Jerusalem. We're going to take you back to Israel. We're going to take you back to the promised land. We're going to take you back into the covenantal connections that you had before you ever got in trouble way back there. And he says, you don't have to run like crazy to do it. And I love it, because he's saying, I took the part of the other verse there. He says, you got the vessels. They were the vessels. Now, they were carrying the vessels that they were able to take away with them that would be in the temple and all that kind of stuff. But they were the vessels carrying the treasure. Are you right with me? And so he said, I don't give up. I don't quit. You still are carrying the Spirit of God. Even though you paid your time, you had to be in Babylon because you sinned your way out of home. God said, I'm going to send you there because you kept inviting yourself to go there. And I love it. He goes, I'll be your rear guard. What does that mean? It means he's already got it timed out. Anything he wants back here, he can tell you about. But mostly, he has forgetfulism. He forgives things. And then you can't call them back up to him because he casts them away as far as east is from the west. So what's the rear guard going to tell you? Keep going. Right? And, well, but maybe they're following us. Maybe they don't want us to go. And the Lord said, I kind of got that. I'm back here. Don't you worry. But at the same time, he's leading up here. Because he's the master of breakthrough. He's the God of bursts. And he breaks it through and causes us to get where we need to go. Now, I don't even know if they actually knew the way home. They've been gone a long time. And there are generations of people who had lived there before. Most of those people aren't there anymore. 40 years, you know, whatever. And so the idea is, I'm going to take you where you need to go. But you need to see this one sign. It says, no passing. He's leading. He's leading. Well, I think I can get there. I remember, there's a side road. No. Stay off the detour. Follow him. See, that's part of knowing you've broken through, is that you're being led. Well, how much farther? Some. Remember what your kids would say, are we there yet? I said, babe, it's the driveway. We're out of the driveway. But why? Because of an eagerness to see it fulfilled. I'm a little bit childish that way. I want to see fulfillment. I want to see completion. I want to see wholeness. But I don't want it on my own terms. Need to yield before you yield. I don't want it on my own terms. Why? Because I know what my own terms can do. And it takes forever to clean up the mess. Because God's kind enough sometimes to say, hey, you want it that bad? Okay, tried to tell you. And then it's horrible. And he said, yeah, remember, you can have what you want, but along with it comes leanness of your soul. The Bible says, no thanks. I'll just stay here. The breaker, the Lord, the kick in the castle doors, boom, type of thing. See, that's, stay with me for a second. That's how that stronghold got broke down. It's called battering ram. And see, he's the breaker. In person, he's the battering ram. Sometimes when you're up against a stronghold in your life, and that's what you're battling, trying to get free from, it just doesn't seem to work. He says, okay, here's what we're going to do. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses, strongholds. You follow me, we're going to get it done. Just think about that. You ever put those two together? Well, yeah, because a lot of times when we're up against something, it's because there is a stronghold in our thinking. You know, like the Oklahoma prophet said, if you continue to think as you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. And that's kind of how it works, isn't it? And, well, yeah. And there's another prophet that says you can't fix stupid. But it comes with chocolate, so. Breaking through, if it's a barrier in our thinking, see, we need the one who's wise enough to see. Because part of the problem is, we think what we think is the best. Right? Don't you? Wouldn't you think something better? If you could? No. My wife has told me, are you always right? And I said, like I say, there was that one time in 68 that I was. I said, no, babe, I have to make a choice. I'm always responsible. That doesn't make me always right. But I just can't sit here and teeter. I have to make a decision. And if it's not right, it'll show up pretty quick. And I have lots of people that will help me know. One of them laughs like that. But that's what a team is for. Right? And so this idea of, well, I have to be right. No, I have to be responsible. So I'm going to do what he's telling me to do. And if I miss it, what's he going to do? Throw me under the bus? No, he's going to find me a way to get back on the path so I can do the destiny of what we have been called to. So this concept of praying to the breaker, I just know that sounds weird. Oh, he's the king. Yeah, he is. But the Bible, even the Amplified, says Messiah. So when we're praying to the God of breakthrough, the Lord of breakthrough, when we're praying to the Lord of birth, you're talking to Jesus. You're talking to the King of Kings. And so that's true for our individual situations, like breaking through strongholds. But it's also corporate things where maybe it's we as a family, you know, I mean, like a nuclear type family. Maybe it's us as a church family. Maybe it's us as the church family in Kansas City or in the United States. I mean, there's lots of ways of looking at these things. But it can't be just, he wants me breaking through. So when we get up against things that aren't yielding to prayer, that I'm not saying God doesn't answer. I'm saying you can't always see the result of prayer that you've prayed. Daniel was like that for weeks. And then, yes, an angelic invitation saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we've been doing this warfare thing going on here. We heard you. Right off the bat, the Lord gave the answer, but it's taken us 3 weeks to get here. Well, and it's some people have gone longer than 3 weeks. I'll not make any quotes. What I'm trying to get at, I think, is this. I want you to be able to have, it's kind of like an appeal, you know? I've been doing what I've known to do. I've been quoting these verses. I've been praying this passage of Scripture. I have been singing this one song. Sometimes there's such a touch on songs that the Lord, you feel him resting. I told Josh the other day, I'm going to do this thing. If you guys can work Waymaker in there, do it, because that's kind of what he's saying. We're singing to the one who makes the way. And it lists the things that he does. I thought, okay, that anything that helps me understand, the let's do it. When you're doing all those things and you haven't quite yet seen what you need to see, I'm wondering if there isn't that, I don't know. Some of you, how many of you know who Mike Tyson is? Well, I'm sorry. But he was such an interesting fighter. He'd just walk in there and look at the guy, and the guy swing at him, pretty cool, poof, one of him is gone. Breakthrough. Burst. And I thought, that's kind of what that reminds me of, is that, Lord, whatever the knockout punch in prayer is supposed to be, ring the bell. You ring the bell, and if you say so, we're getting in the ring. Because we need to see happen what you have put in our hearts to pray for. See, if we're only going to get what I can think of to pray for, we're in trouble. But I think most of the things that I've been after, because he put them there. Or I wouldn't be after him. Or I wouldn't stay after him. Because I'd wear out or quit or have another idea. But many of the things that you have in you that just feel set upon, some of those things are good strongholds, or things about truth and fulfilled prophecies and answered prayer. Things that he wants you to press through on, that he doesn't want you to quit up. You know, they're not something you're supposed to back off of. And I think, man, that Lord, whatever's got the knockout punch in it, would you help us? Would you show up like that? Because what does that do? Well, in Micah and in 2 Samuel, it opens the gates. It kicks down the door. And it creates a path. Now, if you walk in the light, even as he's in the light, right? We can have fellowship with one another. All our sins get forgiven. And we're projecting the life of God. I just think, if you're fighting on something, and I think we put out a couple things, the two things that we wrote down last week, move of God, financial breakthrough, it'd be great to say, you just want to say, Lord, sick them. We want to go after what you're going after. We want to break loose what you broke loose in heaven and get it real down here. We want to tie up in knots what you have forbidden in heaven and get it forbidden down here on earth in our experience, like it is in heaven. And he says, I'm the way. That's not too much different than saying, I'm the breaker. I make the way. I am the way. So I thought, I never meant to speak this long on this, but it happens. I want you to be encouraged that maybe there's another angle here. Maybe there's another way of going after this. Maybe where you've been shooting from, you're doing everything you know how to do, but it needs to be from over here, so it's not this straight on. You have a better angle on it. You're getting a different perspective on it, and consequently, you get a different result from it. Right?
Yeah.
And so, it's interesting, because what I was going to do, and I'm not going to do this to you, I was going to go now next into how to wait, which sounds 180 degrees from what I'm talking about. But it's not. It's part of it. It's how to enjoy the wait. So I'm going to go back up here and get a little different look. Isaiah 52. You will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives. I like that. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Got you coming and going, first and last, and from the beginning, from the end. That's what he's like. Now, we can be, don't do this, just do this if it's true. If you've been pushing against something, if you've been praying about something that has not yet come to pass, and you'd really like for it to, just raise your hand. Doesn't have to be everybody. That's most everybody. I thought it might be. I thought this might be a cool way of praying our way out of here today. Last week, you know, I wrote that little thing in the notes because you have prayed to me about this and then fill in the blank. This is kind of like that. But what if in regard to the thing or the relationship or the move, I mean, you know, am I supposed to take a different job? Am I supposed to get a different apartment? Should I buy a house? I mean, some of these things that I need an answer on. What if we go to him as the breaker and ask for something to happen like now, like immediately? I'll probably do this next week, but every once in a while, he's walking down the road and somebody says, Bartimaeus says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He gets healed instantly. Instantly. I mean, like now, this moment. Is he going to do that? I mean, historically, he does that. Well, how come Daniel had to wait 21 days? I just said, wait, get up there and ask him. I don't know. But it was because it was the will of God. It was the way of God. It was him expressing his goodness and his godness in a way that was beneficial, redemptive, and probably even restorative to some people. And I would say that's why oftentimes when there's an answer to prayer like that, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's a new life. Why? Because you're on this side of it now, not on that side anymore. So if you want to close your eyes or bow your head or however you want to do if you're praying, Lord, we want to take this concept of coming to you from the Scriptures, where the Bible calls you the breaker, the master, the Lord of breakthrough. And we're asking, Father, now for you to come and do what Micah says the breaker does. He comes in, he kicks down the gates, he removes the barrier, he pushes that out of the way, he opens a door and a path is created, and we get to see it and know it, and now we're drafting on you going ahead of us, and we're being drawn towards the success, the completion, the fulfillment, the destiny of the thing that we've been praying about. So attach that, what I just said, to what you're praying about. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and have your way. I'll give you an example. My wife has a disease. I've tried to go after it in lots of ways. Lord, I come to you as the breaker, the master of breakthrough. I'm coming, Lord, and saying, would you come and show your strength? Would you kick in the doors of this disease and trample it out and give us a way to follow you and walk out of it into health and healing and deliverance? Because who you are and what you can do, we already know you're in the fight. And that you want us in it. You've told us to lay hands on the sick so they could recover. Lord, I'm asking for that touch of heaven to come and that her wellness would celebrate through this whole place with the breaker breaking through and guarding us from behind so nothing comes and takes anybody by surprise. You can use that in a way to pray for the things you're praying about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, if you look up at me for a minute. Now, we've done that kind of for ourselves. Let's pray for people who are battling some kind of health situation or financial situation, something that, hey, if they pray today, I want them to pray for me for that. If you'd like to be prayed for, and I think this would be a good time to do it, why don't you stand out in the aisle, if you would, please, wherever you're sitting. Just take a step into the aisle. Whether physical, financial, emotional, relational, it doesn't matter. But something that needs to change, something you would love to have change. You need to have some kind of breakthrough in. And so if you are standing to get prayed for, put your hand up for just a minute. So now everybody else look around. I need somebody to get where everybody is. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Lord. Now, you can just ask them what you're talking about, but I would invite you to invite the master of breakthrough to see something happen here. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, you go ahead and pray, but this is for somebody. The word in Isaiah there and the word in Malachi, he doesn't just make a way out of, he also makes a way back into. And for some of you, it's a step back into. Lord, I pray that you would break through, kick in doors so that people can get back into the place with you that they know they need and would love to have, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.